Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to talk a little bit at the top about this proposed bubble. Not bubble per se, but the Cavs being able to return in August. Them and the other seven non-bubble teams will, according to some reporting from the Charlotte Observer, be practicing and perhaps scrimmaging come August. I'll talk about that at the top. By myself, we had a little plan to do some WNBA stuff. Some guests fell through, but we're going to do that next week, and I'm very excited about that because I want to give that league a platform, and you're going to get all kinds of in-the-bubble stuff as we're doing here on the show, but I want to cover that league as well. So we have some great guests that'll be on and talk about that. And then for the second two segments of the show, it's going to be Evan and I talking about James Wiseman for about 10 minutes and then doing a little mini mock draft towards the end of the show in the last segment. But that's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, our daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's got Xbox at him tonight at the Q.
On the blow block. He put him in cement boots, Colin Sexton for two.
Okay, so here is the rough details. In case you missed it, you can go in the show notes and find information about this. But according to Rick Bonnell, the longtime Hornets beat reporter for the Charlotte Observer, the Cavs and the seven other NBA teams not in the Orlando bubble could soon have a plan in place for them to play. So the two main points of this report are this. Number one, a week of practice at each team's respective home facility. So for the Cavs, that will be Cleveland Clinic Courts in Independence. I would assume that they would do that there versus Quicken Loans Arena. I would guess that would be where they'd do it. And then up to 2 weeks of group workouts hosted by two teams not in the restart. So in case you want to just quick refresher or aren't aware, the eight teams not in Orlando are the Cavs, the Warriors, the Wolves, the Atlanta, Detroit, New York, Chicago, Charlotte. Noticeably there, you will notice that there is a pretty big skewing of those teams towards the eastern half of the United States. The Wolves are the second furthest team west, I believe, and they'd be the second team furthest west. Obviously, the Warriors are all the way in California. So I wonder what the host cities would be. I would doubt it would be New York. I would doubt it would be Atlanta, just because of the coronavirus situations we've seen there. Chicago was obviously considered for a full-on second bubble. Before that, seemingly fell apart. I'm sure we'll learn more in the coming weeks about why that's the case and everything that goes kind of into that. But this is kind of, I think, a good middle ground from not wanting to do anything or being skeptical of doing anything at all and doing the second bubble. Michelle Roberts, the head of the NBPA, had said a couple weeks ago that she knew that their players, that they were concerned they weren't going to get enough offseason activity, but she was worried about guaranteeing the same level of health and safety that provided in Orlando. On the Cavs side of things, you've had multiple players kind of talk about why it's something they were wanting to do and couldn't imagine going like 8 months without playing. JB Bickerstaff in June told Adrian Wojnarowski that he felt it was necessary for the Cavs to reconvene in some capacity before the start of next season, which, as we know, is likely or at least theoretically planned to, and everything changes now because that's the world we live in. Will come in December. Kobe Altman, behind the scenes, the Cavs general manager, has been one of the leading voices in wanting to do some kind of second bubble or some kind of activities for the second teams, an announcement, according to Rick Bonnell, could come sometime next week. I think for me, a couple things of note here. Number one, when I did some poking around, not all of them 100% knew that this was happening. One of the one player I talked to directly basically said that he hadn't heard about it. He wasn't worried about it, but basically that I broke the news to him, which was kind of a weird experience for me. you know, I can't speak to like everyone on the roster, but I don't think this is something that everyone was fully in the loop on. Like, I don't think guys 1 through 15 and then 17, 18, 19 were like fully aware that this was something on the roster, or potentially there to them to do, just considering what was going on with this. I don't think the guys are all 100% like cued into this. That is normal. I don't think that's like a crazy thing, but I think this is something that they're going to get probably caught up on in the coming days, and we'll see, you know, what the voting looks like. Again, like a lot of the NBA PA leads are in Orlando. Chris Paul and LeBron notably, but Kyrie is in there, but he's involved in that. But these aren't guys on non-bubble teams. You know, I'll be curious to see kind of how their voices are represented. That's an interesting kind of question there. The other, I think, part of this is one of the reasons I thought a second bubble might happen is for sheer revenue purposes, which I don't love. You know, I don't love that owners who could sell these teams for billions of dollars and make money on them based on what they paid for them in all likelihood, even now, would just want to recoup some money via televised games. The structure as kind of reported here, with 2 weeks of workouts not hosted by two teams not in the restart. So theoretically, you could get some scrimmaging, but let's say like the Cavs, just geographically, it's the Cavs, the Pistons, the Bulls, and the Knicks are four teams put together. Maybe they decide, okay, we're going to do the Midwest group, and then everyone else who is a little more spaced out, we're going to put them together. Let's just say that happens. Like, I understand that I would like to watch some of this. I don't know what our access will be, because I certainly will likely like not be allowed to do these things up close. I'd be sort of surprised if that was the case. This isn't going to be like on a sprawling Disney campus. This is going to be like at the Cavs practice facility or at the Q or something like that. Like, there's not going to be as much space and kind of lockdown protocols in place here. It's going to be a little harder to manage. So I wonder if it is more insulated, everything gets done, you know, over Zoom, and not even like allowed to be in the same kind of areas as the players. I would understand that, frankly, considering we're in the middle of a pandemic. But if that's the case, like, you know, how much are people aching to see like a B squad Cavs team face a crappy B squad Pistons team and the Knicks and Ix and the Bulls? Like, and how many guys are really going to play? Like, you know, I know, you know, like, you think about the Cavs, like, why would Andre Drummond play? Why would, there's literally, to me, no chance that Tristan Thompson or Matthew Dellavedova play, because they are impending free agents. You know, does Kevin Love play just for sheer risk of injury, or does he just work out and then not play in any kind of scrimmages against other teams? There's just questions I don't know the answer to right now. You know, can Jedi Osmond come back from Turkey at this point? Like, there are just a lot of concerns, I think, about what it actually looks like. I understand why they want it. There are obviously, I think, health concerns, and I think we'll see how those play out. I think this is kind of probably a better option than a full-on second bubble, just logistically, just safety-wise. I get it. Bubbles, the NBA bubble is obviously holding up right now, but I think just for the stakes of these teams, everything like that, I'm pro just them at least getting some practice in. And look, I also get when it's going to happen. If they announce this and it happens starting in the second week of August, as Rick Bonnell reported, you know, the thing to me that would basically, like, the Cavs, I think, would probably like to have a draft pick in place. But this will obviously be before, like, even the draft lottery happens. So, you know, you get Colin Sexton gets to come in, Garland, all those guys, Windler, they get to get their medical staff looking at them in person, I would assume, and that's a good thing in its own right. There are a lot of positives for the Cavs, and I think there's certainly something to be happy about. But do I think we're necessarily going to get to watch like interesting Cavs basketball in August? No, I don't think we're going to be there, but it will be something. I'll be curious to see kind of what this only takes shape at. The basic reporting here is pretty vague. And I'll be curious to see what the actual plan looks like. Again, the vibe I get is that not everyone knows exactly what this looks like. So we will see sort of what that ultimately turns into here. It's an open question to me what it ultimately kind of turns into. All right, we're going to take a pause here, but then we're going to come back, and Evan's going to join me, and we're going to talk about James Wiseman. But I want to tell you guys about Axios before we do that. Start your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nyla Boudou and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into trends shaping our world. And also check out the AccuSports newsletter. I love Kendall Baker's newsletter. It is probably my favorite newsletter that I subscribe to. So please check that out. James Wiseman talk with Evan and I right after this. Today's episode of Locked In Cavs is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Wow. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. If you are looking for a part and you think your car guy or car woman might be charging you too much, check out RockAuto. Evan, my co-host here on Locked On Cavs, literally just got his air conditioner fixed for $100 less because he ordered the part on RockAuto.com. This is a place that you can use to cover your needs, get what you need at a low price for the brand specifications and prices you prefer. What more can you ask for? This could be tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. It could be for classic car or your daily driver. This is for professionals or do-it-yourselfers. And why spend twice as much on the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Again, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Evan, let's dive into James Wiseman here. James Wiseman, who we're going to talk about, who could potentially come into play in our mock draft later in the show and everything else, is one of the bigger name prospects in this draft. You know, you and I, obviously, we come from little non-super drafty-focused backgrounds, but, Evan, what do you make of Wiseman? You're writing about him. You wrote about him at Forbes by the time people are listening to this. So what do you make of him?
Well, Wiseman told me that the Cavs are interested in James Wiseman quite a bit, so I think he's a player we should start paying attention to, but I think it's more so the Cavs are doing their due diligence. They are a team that is not talent heavy. I mean, they do have a nice promising young core, but they can still keep adding to it. And if you think James Wiseman is talented enough to be a top pick, and barring where Cleveland ends up picking, he could be that option. You consider all things, but then that's where things start to get a little murky for me. But I want to hear your thoughts on James Wiseman with the Cavs at least.
Well, okay, so I have a very specific take about this. I think there is stuff to really like about him. He's really intriguing. The size-wise, I think, is really interesting. You know, he's a little lower in, like, some people whose draft opinions I really value. The Stepien, you know, has him, like in their tier two, but below guys like Nico and Killian Hayes and Theo Maldon and RJ Hampton and stuff. Like, he's not, like, a number one blown-away guy. He is... Well, I guess it's just sort of by position. So, depending on where you have him in tier two. But he's a tier two kind of guy. The wingspan and stuff is all really interesting. My thing is just this. If you take him, trade Andre Drummond the next day.
Yeah, that's, well,
like,
there's
no world to me where I think if you take James Wiseman and you want to invest in him and you believe in him, that it is worth having Andre Drummond on your roster for a single minute, because you can never play them together unless you would like to just try to play 1980s basketball.
Okay, first off, the Twin Towers in San Antonio was in the 90s, Chris, so we were kind of alive when it happened, but...
Neither of these players are Tim Duncan or David Robinson.
Listen, Kevin O'Connor gave James Wiseman a David Robinson comp, and I know you hate player comps, but hear me out on this. James Wiseman is an athletic phenomenon, and he shows a lot of two-way potential with his long arms, and I mean, he has a massive frame for his age. Like, he looks like a grown man playing with boys, but doesn't really know how to use all of it yet. There's a lot of concerns with him, and I think just based off my just intel gathering and analysis of my own, I think he's better suited to start off as in a more simple rim running role in his career. And I think if the Cavs, I mean, Andre Drummond is accepting his player option, we know he's picking it up, he might be okay to bring off the bench for the first year, but I'm okay with keeping Drummond as a starter and Wiseman as his reserve, and that means you kiss Tristan Thompson goodbye. And you let Wiseman just kind of grow and develop off the bench as a simple rim running center that they wanted Andre Drummond to be, and then you just kind of let him grow and expand his role as time goes on. You know, just maybe the patient process of Kevin Porter Jr. But yeah, no, if you draft James Wiseman, you completely walk away from any discussions on signing Andre Drummond to an extension. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah, I cannot get behind like that. As if I was doing this, if I was the GM here, yeah, like you can't. There's no reason to pay both of them.
I mean,
like,
or James Wiseman both of them. Is expected to be more talented than Andre Drummond in time, and you can't have him coming off the bench for the length of Drummond's extension until you can trade him. And Andre Drummond, you don't want the Cavs to end up in the Philly situation like they are with Al Horford, where Andre Drummond is a very expensive bench player playing in reserve of James Wiseman.
And I don't think that would be tenable for Andre.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. I mean, he could rap about it. His album drops
there's
in
concerns,
13
yeah,
days.
There's concerns, too, for me with Wiseman and his defense. Like, I think you got to figure that out. That's why I sort of think the ideal outcome here would be, like, if you're going to take him, let's say, like, they pick fourth and pick him, and you want to make it work, and you're like, we believe in the athleticism. Like, we believe, like, him playing more to his strengths in the little bit of time he played at Memphis versus him playing, like, trying to, like, he thought he was Dirk in high school and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if he's going to be that and kind of be that, kind of rim running kind of monster type, and that's you think the best value of this draft, which I'm open to that argument, trade Andre, bring back Tristan for another year, have Tristan be the mentor for him and teach him some defensive stuff and teach him how to use his athleticism and all these things. Mm-hmm. And then if Tristan walks next year, you hopefully can run, hopefully Wiseman's a little more developed, it would allow you to not have to start him right away, because I think, like, if he starts like day one next year, like, he's him behind an already bad defensive backcourt is not going to really help things. And I think at the very least, Tristan could at least kind of help some of that. And, you know, maybe it's not perfect and everything like that. Like, the shot blocking is, I think, at least makes him a little more interesting than Andre, because that's not really what Andre does or has ever shown an inclination to really do. But I just think I'm interested in Wiseman. This draft is not so slam dunk that I think you can write off any particular guy. But if you do that, you should trade Andre Drummond. I get why you would say just bring him off of the bench for a little bit and have Andre start, but I would rather just flip Andre now and just get that over with and bring back Tristan, just because I know the locker room aspect of this would really be, Tristan would be better at that than Andre would be.
I guess that's true, but then who would trade for Andre? I guess that's a good jumping point for this, because we can talk about James Wiseman ad nauseum, but either you love him or you don't at this point. I can understand why you like him, but who would trade for Andre then if you drafted James Wiseman? Like, that's where I get hung up.
That's probably a discussion for another day, because I don't know.
I mean, the Clippers make a ton of sense, but the Clippers, I mean, like, oh my gosh, Andre Drummond would be so good with the Clippers. Like, he's exactly what they need at the center position, for just a rebounding monster who can just kick it back out to their players. And, you know, Doc Rivers wouldn't let him freelance like JB Bickerstaff does, but the Clippers really don't have anything to offer.
I mean, if you're trading him, and I think we should kind of wrap that up here, because we don't need to dive super deep into the Andre trade stuff. But yeah. I just think, like, if you get him and you're going to trade him, you just trade him, even if it means like taking back a veteran wing that has a little bit of bad money. Like, that's fine. You know, like if you're going to keep Andre, you're going to be paying him a lot of money anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe it's something like, you know, Nick Batum. Like, oh, I don't know what the Hornets are doing, yeah. But like, this is just spitballing ideas. But if you think about teams that need bigs, like Charlotte in theory could be that kind of team. The Clippers, obviously, I think his role there would be really interesting. You know, I think that's the kind of thing you're looking at, is just kind of a dump situation, frankly. You're kind of probably looking for something not dissimilar to how the Cavs got him in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, I don't know. I think that $28.7 million expiring chip could be of value when Giannis announces intentions, but I could agree with you. For harmony's sake, you might want to just sell low on him as soon as you can. And it sucks, but I mean, the Cavs also did get him for nothing, so it's not like it's the end of the world.
Well, but I think ultimately this is one of the problems with just trading for Andre, even though it was for nothing, is because if you want to draft James Wiseman and clear a path for him to play and kind of make that clean and kind of keep everything copacetic, this is one of the weird situations you can end up in.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it's just, it's an interesting situation, and I think Cleveland is just doing their due diligence, but I think there is a little bit of fire behind the smoke for James Wiseman to Cleveland.
This isn't a draft, and we don't even know where they're picking yet. That is clean cut enough for anyone to get off the board. That's just
one. And actually, right, speaking of where they're picking, that's what we'll be discussing in the next segment. So please stay tuned, because I have some hot draft takes, because my brain is warped on the top 10 at this class at this point.
Yes. So come back and we'll be there for that. All right, Evan, let's end this lottery. Do you want to do this or do you want me to do this?
Let's just pause real quick. Is this Thursday's episode?
Yes.
We have a liner for Axios at the end of the first segment, and I don't know if this is the first segment or not, and then we have
Rock Auto. I'll put the other thing first and do the Axios thing.
Okay, I'll do it.
I'll do this in the middle at the back end.
Okay, I can just record a Rock Auto thing and send it to you. All right, let's focus. Cool.
Okay. Evan, do you want me, just one, two, three. Evan, do you want me to hit the tankathon or you to do the
tankathon? Why don't you pick a number between one and four?
Three.
Okay, one, two, three. The Cavs have the fourth pick of the draft. Picking ahead of them is San Antonio first overall, Atlanta second, New York third, Cleveland fourth, and rounded out Golden State at five. I think that's the best spot for the Cavs to be in.
Okay, so if I'm pick, so you want to make the first pick?
Oh, here? San Antonio picks LaMelo Ball because I just want. Actually, no, they take Killian Hayes. I want chaos, but I want reasonable chaos for them.
Okay, so Spurs go Killian Hayes at one. Tell me who's at two again.
Atlanta.
So this is tricky for them.
Brad Rowland. I think you just go would take LaMelo.
I'm going LaMelo Ball. Ooh. I think just the passing and the potential really nice fit with Trey is really interesting. But there's arguments for other guys there, but I think you go LaMelo with two here. So Hayes and then Ball, one, two. And then you pick third here.
It's the Knicks, and the Knicks will be picking, I guess. Anthony Edwards is the best player available because, at least for me, Mitchell Robinson is so talented that you don't need to bother with James Wiseman or Odeyoko Okongwu. So that leaves Cleveland.
RJ and Anthony's a real weird fit.
Well, if you're the Knicks, and it feels like the Knicks, after they hired Tom Thibodeau, are maybe going to be trying to do some Knicks-y things and get back to the playoffs, so maybe that pick isn't long for this world and Anthony Edwards ends up with another team. But now we have Cleveland at four.
Okay, so let's just run through the options here. Isaac Okoro is an option. Mm-hmm. Devin Vassell is an option. Mm-hmm. Denny Avija is an option. And James Wiseman is an option. I think those are the four guys there.
Yeah, Onyeka as well, maybe the round of the five. But
we sort of both are of the opinion and understanding from within the organization that they probably have Wiseman. The aggregate Cavs boards probably have Wiseman above Onyeka.
No, I agree with that. And they have Onyeka probably
in those. That's why I'm saying let's just strike
him. Okay, I'd go with Devin Vassell here. I like what Isaac Okoro brings to the table in terms of defense, but Devin Vassell is just such an easier plug-and-play player and kind of has that Chris Middleton-like potential to me that I like what he brings to the board, and I'd rather have Devin Vassell than Isaac Okoro if you had a gun to my head right now.
Yeah, I agree. They would be my top two options at this pick because if you look at the need and you look at kind of where what the Cavs kind of have right here, I think they're probably the lead options. Adija's the other one because of the size. Mm-hmm. Because if you there's all these guys have different pros and cons. Vassell probably comes in as sort of maybe the highest end defender of the three. Okoro's probably the potentially highest end defender, the strongest guy of them. Vassell's probably the most kind of like complete package. Adija's probably like the most just kind of solid on defense, but also is a little bigger, potentially a little more versatile, depending on where you could slide him in and out a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's what I think kind of makes him intriguing in that sense. If you could move him up to the four and play him some minutes there, I think that would really fill a need. Vassell's kind of become my draft crush, though.
Yeah, I'm starting to become enamored with him, and I don't say this often, but shout out to Hiram Boyd for getting me tuned in to Devin Vassell initially, and then
Hiram, hi.
I know you're listening, so. Thank you for introducing me to Devin Vassell. I think he doesn't have as high a ceiling as some of maybe these other players, but he's also the safest pick. And with how inconsistent and, you know, maybe toxic this draft class could be for some of these teams, I think you need to go the safest avenue possible. And Cleveland can't get too cute with a prospect. And I think you just grab a guy that covers a lot of needs on the wing, three-point shooting, defense. If those of you reading along at Fear the Sword are listening, things we'll be discussing in the future. But Devin Vassell covers a lot of that, and if the Cavs are a team that are legitimately serious about trying to vie for the playoffs, Devin Vassell also can help maybe make that possible or make it a little bit more realistic.
Here, I'm going to read you three sentences from the Ringer's draft guide from Kevin O'Connor that I think basically sum up why I would draft him.
Give me them player comps, too. I need them.
Well, they're pretty wild. Chris Middleton. Uh-huh. Robert Covington.
I like it.
Thybulle.
oh my god, he's would be the perfect prospect if he had flashes of all three of those players.
Yeah, that's why I don't like player comps. Here's the pluses that I think just make him a really interesting Cavs fit.
Uh-huh.
Elite team defender who immediately help any NBA rotation. Cavs need that, okay? Yeah. Never stops hustling. The Cavs kind of need that kind of stuff. They need guys that are just going to give a shit.
There's only so much impactful sucks to go around.
Yeah, for real. And then impactful on-ball defender with the right blend of agility and length to defend guards and wings, though he must get stronger. Let's just, like, again, I don't understand, like, send Jetty Osman and Devin Vassell to the Ohio State weight room and just get them, like, 10 pounds of muscle one summer. Let's go. But that is the kind of prospect the Cavs will need. And I think we're in agreement here. If they're at four and he's there, let's go Devin Vassell.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think the Cavs are pretty high on Devin Vassell based on what I've gathered and heard. So I don't think we're too far-fetched in saying that Devin Vassell is an option at fourth overall. And it's not even a reach either. Like, Kevin O'Connor has Devin Vassell as his sixth best prospect on his big board. And so, but no, if you got Chris Middleton, Rocco, and Matisse Thybulle, like, that's that's like a Hall of Fame quality player right there. And
again, player comps are dumb. Chris Manning's plus, like, official
yeah,
opinion.
And like you said, if he needs to add some size and get stronger, like, that's easily doable. He's only 19 years old. He's going to be 20 probably by the time this draft happens, if I had to think about it. But it's the right pick. And, like, I can understand the upside and intrigue with Okoro, but, like, that shooting does legitimately scare me with how bad he is from the perimeter.
Yeah. I think it's just in terms of the roster right now and wanting to be better next year, this is also just a really seamless fit. Mm-hmm. But
to round things
that
out at
is
five,
gonna,
actually,
yeah.
James Wiseman's going to go to the Warriors, I feel like, and then the Warriors...
Unless they trade the pick. That's a trade pick.
No, they're going to trade the pick with Andrew Wiggins to a team that's dumb enough, named the Washington Wizards, for Bradley Beal, and then I get to watch...
I'm really sorry, friend of the program, Michael Sykes, if that happens.
It could be worse, I guess. I don't know. Thomas Bryant, James Wiseman, and Mo Wagner,
and Rui Hachimura, who, like, can't defend
the next Giannis, according to certain scout men. But it's just a mess. But that's I think Wiseman would go five in this scenario to the Warriors, and then he would make a team very happy, or would be really good for Golden State. So
yeah, in like a
rim running rebounder who kicks it out, who knows his role is to kick it out to Steph, Clay, and Clay every single time.
Yes. Well, that's gonna do it though. We'll be back again. If you want Anthony Edwards talk, you can go check out yesterday's show with Ricky O'Donnell, and then tomorrow is book club, so stay tuned for that. But for myself, for Evan, this has been Locked On Cavs. We'll talk to you tomorrow.